The scripture reading this evening comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We're glad that everyone has made it here safe and sound. We're always thankful for that. What a blessing that is. When I started preaching around the age of 18, it didn't take too long until I was traveling to a lot of places, subbing in, and then it didn't take too long until I was subbing in about every Sunday. And one thing that I didn't like about that is I never got to hear other men speak. And so I found my way going to the internet to find gospel preachers. Never made it to the Harvey Camp, but I made it a lot of other places. And at one point, I heard a lesson in my life, and through the means of internet. And it was on important dates in history. And I thought it was a lesson that touched me at the time and definitely influenced the lesson that you're about to hear this evening. There's a lot of important dates in history. And there's different dates that are important for different reasons. Some are for bad reasons, some are for good reasons. And what touched me so much when I heard this lesson for the first time was I was reflecting on a time when I was talking to my 8th grade students. I was talking about an important date in history, at least an important date in my life, Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. And as I tried to describe that important day in my life, as I looked back in the eyes of my students, I didn't see the same appreciation I had for that day. And then I started thinking of times that people told me about other days in the past, such as Sunday, December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor. Or other days in history, such as November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of JFK. And so there's all kinds of important days in history, and they all touch us in different ways. But I feel like sometimes as we get past those days and the years fade on, and sometimes those days lose their significance. And we start to think of holidays and days that have been marked throughout our country with different names that we observe. And we think to ourselves, have they lost their significance since their founding? Have those important days lost the significance? I'd like to look at some great days, some important days in history from the past. Some days that might be familiar to us, but maybe forgotten. I'd like to start in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we find what I believe would be defined as an important day in history. It's such an important day that it changes the calendar. It's such an important day that God makes note of it. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household.'" Basically talking about the Passover. God telling Moses and Aaron in this situation that you have now, this trip out of Egypt, this exodus has happened. This is an important time. It's so important that you are going to remember it in such a way, to remember what I have done for you by taking you out of Egypt, getting you out from Egyptian bondage. This time will be forever marked. The calendar was changed. The calendar was changed. The first month of the year, Passover, is observed. Observed by the Jews. And we kind of think of how long that important day stayed in people's memory. The whole world was influenced by that turn of events. By the Israelites getting out of Egypt, and we recall the plagues that happened. And on the last plague, the death of the firstborn, we have Israel leaving, and they get to the Red Sea. And once they get to the edge of the Red Sea, they're kind of in quite a predicament because the Pharaoh is coming after them. And what does God do? He parts the Red Sea that they can escape on dry land. And Pharaoh is crushed underneath, the armies are crushed underneath the waves of the Red Sea. A great day in history, a great period of time in history that will be remembered throughout time. And it's interesting how people can't erase it from history, even though many times they have, but it's hard to erase the Israelites from history because they are entrenched in history. As we turn to Exodus chapter 18, we see how it influences the people that are living during that time. In Exodus chapter 18, we come to a man named Jethro. In Exodus chapter 18, in verse 1, it says, "And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt." And it continues on. Jethro is making note of what has happened. And we continue on to verses 9 through 12 as he still is recounting. In Exodus 18, 9 through 12, it says, "And Jethro, rejoicing for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them.' Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifice to offer to God, and Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God." It affected everyone at the time. It was an important day, not only marked by God, that the calendar was changed, that God said, "This is a day, this is a time period that should be remembered when I brought you out of Egypt," that affected everyone around. In fact, throughout the Old Testament, they are constantly reminded of what God has done for them. As Israel constantly goes away and they get involved in sin and idolatry and complaining and all these things, God is constantly pointing back to the Passover, to when he got them out of Egypt. It's remembered for so long and influenced so many people that we see even 40 years later in Joshua chapter 2, we see how the land responds to the Israelites coming. At least some of the land. 40 years later, after they have left, how did people still respond to this event? In Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, "And they said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sidon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God of heaven above and on earth beneath." 40 years later, people are still talking about it. 40 years later, people are still looking back at what God did to get Israel out of Egypt. People remember that important day. 40 years later. In fact, throughout the Bible, it continues on how this event was commemorated in Psalms. Let's look at Psalms 106, verses 9 through 11. This event was so significant, not only do we, it is reflected on all throughout the Old Testament, again and again and again, God says, "Remember, remember, remember that important day when I brought you out of Egypt, when I saved you," again and again and again, "remember." And it was commemorated in song. The psalmist wrote Psalm 106, verses 9 through 11. It says, "He rebuked the Red Sea, and also he dried it up. So he led them through the depths and through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered the enemies. There was no one There was not one of them left. Talking about the Red Sea. Continues on, Psalm 136, verses 13 through 15. It says, to him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. This event was so big, it was so special, that God said, you need to remember this. You need to remember this. And not only did the people of Israel remember it, but the world remembered it. As they saw the Israelites coming in their land, we say, we know that these people have a God who dried up the Red Sea. And there was a thing that was remembered by the people, so much so that there were songs written about it. Do we have songs written about important days of the past? The Star Spangled Banner? And things such of that nature. God said, remember. Remember what I've done for you. But it seems as time passed, people forget. But it didn't seem like this happened to Passover. Once we even get to Nehemiah, approximately 1,000 years later, 1,000 years later, in Nehemiah chapter 9, guess what Nehemiah is still talking about? He's talking about that important day. He's talking about that important period. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, it says, you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of the land, for you knew that they acted proudly against them. So you made a name for yourself, as it is this day, and you divided the seas before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors were thrown into the deep, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road. 1,000 years later, Nehemiah is still talking about it. Nehemiah remembers those important days. It was a day and a time to be remembered when God brought his people out of bondage. How easily we forget things of the past. How easily we forget things of the past. But this day would not die. This day would not die. It would be remembered again and again and again. And it seems like every time the people forgot about it, it would be brought back into their memory. In fact, we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, we see what Jesus' parents were doing. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, it says his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Every year they were remembering the day. Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Every year they remembered that important time of the past. In John chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. What do you think Jesus was doing? He was keeping the Passover. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 19, it says, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. They were remembering that important day in history. When I look at days that we celebrate in our country, or our country observes many times, I wonder how many of them are going to be remembered 500 years from now. I wonder how many of them are going to be remembered 1,000 years from now. Will those days be remembered? And I think many of us have the answer in our own minds. When I look at some of the holidays and some of the days that are observed in our country, I just think, as those years pass, will they still be considered important? Will they still be held to? Will people still look after them? Will they still be looked at as significant? Will they be observed by everyone? Or as the years fade, will those days, for whatever reason, become less important? As the years roll on, will they lose their significance? I hope we remember the greatest day in history. And it's got some significance because it happened all those years ago on this day. On this day, the greatest day in history. What is it? Christ rose from again from the dead. He rose from the dead.
but I think there's lessons to be learned from the Passover.
One, I think that we see that God specified it. God said, this is something that I want to happen.
An excellent lesson to be learned. Do what God says.
And then we look back at the Passover and we see something else that they were constantly reminded of it through song and through other things, that they constantly were remembering this day that was important. And number three, they kept it.
I think those are great lessons that we can translate to the first day of the week when it comes to the Lord's Supper. I'm afraid that sometimes, for whatever reason, this day loses its importance.
How could this day, of all days, lose its importance and its significance in our lives? This day, of all days, how could it be the one to lose its importance and its significance? This day, Christ rose from the dead.
When you woke up this morning, sometimes it hits me, before I come to worship service, you know what happened this morning?
Christ arose from the dead.
And yet, isn't this the day, for whatever reason, that we try to shove to the side? The day that loses its significance, the day that all things appear to be lost. And I think there's a lesson to be learned from holidays and days in our own country. Doesn't it seem like, as the years go on, their significance fades? What do we do on the 4th of July? What, eat a hot dog, watch some fireworks? What's that got to do with the 4th of July? I'm not saying those things are necessarily bad things, but I'm just saying, have we forgot what the 4th of July is all about? Have we forgot what Veterans Day is all about? And to be honest with you, I'm not concerned with those days. I'm concerned about the Lord's Day. I'm concerned about the day that Jesus rose from the dead, and is it losing its significance?
Will we let it lose its significance? Because when I look back at the Passover, what did they do? They kept it year after year after year after year, thousands of years. They did what Jesus told them to do, but will we let that fade away?
I think Paul says something interesting to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now the church at Corinth is an interesting congregation of the Lord's people. When I look at the church at Corinth, I find it very encouraging because they got problems just like we do. And they got a lot of problems. When we read through and we see all the things that they're going through, trying to overcome, they've got a lot of problems and issues. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it goes and it says, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified. The church at Corinth had all kinds of problems. But one of the most interesting, I think, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19, it seems like Paul is addressing something that's appeared at least somewhere in proximity to the church at Corinth. It says in 1 Corinthians verses 12 through 19, it says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then we are preaching, our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead did not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. What's Paul saying here? He said, I don't know what's happened. But he says, there's some among you that say there's no resurrection of the dead. And Paul just follows that to its logical conclusion. And I think he does it quite well. He says, if Christ did not raise from the dead, why are we here? If Christ didn't rise from the dead, why are we here? If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then what I'm doing right now, preaching to you and writing to you this letter, it's all worthless. And he said, not only that, but I'm a liar. I'm a false witness because I'm saying that God rose Christ from the dead, which he did not.
Do we understand that if Christ did not rise from the dead, everything in Christianity hangs on that alone? If Christ did not rise from the dead, then we are still in our sins. Paul understood the situation. If all this stuff about Jesus is made up, everything that we're doing is wasting our time.
But are we wasting our time as Christians?
Is that how we perceive it? Or do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead?
That's what I believe.
If Christ didn't rise from the dead, then all of this is worthless. All of it's a smoke. All of it is totally useless and wasted. And I'm lying to you. If Christ didn't rise from the dead. And why does that matter?
He rose from the dead on this day. All those years ago. See, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, he's just another man. A whole bunch of denominations are following men who, you know what, they lived and they died. You know the man I'm trying to follow? The one that lived. The one that rose from the dead. It's an important day. It's an important day. But I fear many times that we don't keep it like we should. That we don't give it the respect that it should. That we don't watch over it like we should. That we don't remember it the way it should be remembered. The day that Christ rose from the dead. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." First day of the week. In Mark chapter 16, verse 2, it says, "Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen." In Luke chapter 24, and verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing spices which they had prepared." In John chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." In John chapter 20 and verse 19, it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" When was it? The first day of the week. When you wake up in the morning, do you think this is the day that Jesus rose? That if you got up early enough on this day all those years ago, you could have been at that tomb. You could have saw the rock rolled away. You could have understood and made the connection that Jesus arose from the dead. A great event, an important day, and I think it's something that Christians forget about sometimes every Sunday, the day that Christ arose. See, we try to celebrate all these crazy things in our society. We try to make up all these important days. We try to put all these things out there, but that's not the days that God even asked us to consider, even to look at. He said the first day of the week. And yet, how many times does our society try to get us away from the first day of the week? They try to say the first day of the week is not important. You know what day is important? You know it's coming up. You know, the 25th. That's the important day. Not the day that Jesus rose from the dead. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." The day that Christ rose from the dead. In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead." Without the resurrection of the dead, it doesn't matter. But I fear sometimes that Sunday becomes just another day of the week. Not this day. Not this day of all days! It's not another day of the week. It's the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. And yet, hasn't it become everything else but that day? Well, what has it become? Well, the first day of the week turned into Mother's Day.
Well, the first day of the week has turned into Father's Day. The first day of the week has turned into Go to the Lake Day. The first day of the week has become Sleep In Day. The first day of the week has become Mow Your Lawn Day. The first day of the week has become Deer Hunting Day. The first day of the week has become Golfing Day. The first day of the week has become Fishing Day. The first day of the week has become Racing Day. The first day of the week has become Football Day.
But not the day that Jesus rose from the dead. The devil is good at what he does. How easily he fools people that are around us. So easily does he fool ourselves to get us off that day of the past. That important day that Jesus rose from the dead. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" We turn over to our reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He's referencing that passage in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. But it's interesting where Paul says he receives the message. Where did he receive the message? Paul's not making this up. He said, For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he continues on, talking about the Lord's Supper. It's interesting when you look historically at Christians and all the things that they would do just to be together on the first day of the week. It's interesting, the documents that we find. There's a lot of documents talking about Christians hiding in all kinds of places. Hiding in their homes. What time? On the first day of the week. Hiding in catacombs. Well, what are catacombs? In tombs. Why were they hiding in tombs? The first day of the week. That's where they were at. And we can just go over and over again all these situations where we find Christians at all these odd places, but you know what they're doing? It's an important day. It's a special day. It's a day that we need to be together, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And God has all kinds of other things that he expects us to do on the first day of the week. It's not just partake of communion. But the day of all days for us to abuse, the day of all days for us to ignore, the day of all days to try to mix up with all these other things, it's a day that God says, it's an important day. It's an important day. When I think of important days in history, many could come to mind, but none as important as the day that Jesus rose from the dead. See, when I look at Passover, I can learn a lot of things, I believe, from that. That one, God specified it. Something that God said, "I want you to do this." Not only that, but we see that he constantly reminds them of it again and again and again. And we see the way that the people are reminded of it. We see that they write songs about it and all kinds of things. Why? Because they don't want to forget about that time that God got them out of Egypt. And number three, I think they kept it. They kept it for years and years and years and years and years. And I think that same kind of mentality applies to the Lord's Supper. Is it something that God asked us to do? I believe so. Is it something that helps us to remember what happened on that day all those years ago? I believe so. But I think the question that's most applicable to us today is, will you keep it? Will you keep it? I like what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, because it helps me when it comes to the Lord's Day. It says in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Has the Lord come yet?" That's an easy one for me. Has the Lord come yet? Because if the Lord hasn't come, I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Will you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes? Or will you let this day just become another day? It's sad because we know that that's what happens. We know that many people will let days slip out of their lives that are so important. Days that mean so much. and yet somehow it gets twisted into a day that means so little. The day that Jesus rose from the dead, and yet we'll let it become every other thing to us but that. Maybe you've never become a New Testament Christian. You have to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Without that, there's no Christianity. Everything that we're doing is a waste, and I've just done a whole bunch of lying. Without that, without the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ raising from the dead, there's no Christianity. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? You have to hear that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not a magical experience. You got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in that, there's no need to go any further. Will you repent and change your life? Do those things that God would want you to do. Follow the ordinance and the commands which He has given to be dedicated to them, and not dedicated to your own thoughts, your own feelings, and to the things of the world. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, why? He rose from the dead. And we believe that to be so. We be baptized for the remission of your sins and walk in newness of life. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Perhaps you've walked away and made some mistakes that perhaps we could help you with. You need the prayers of the church or anything of that nature. We'd love to help you any way we can. If you'll please come as we stand and as we sing.